Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. To pass ACLS, you will need to be able to identify rhythms on an ECG during your MECACODE and static strips on your written exam. If you don't look at ECGs regularly as part of your job, I suggest two things. First, learn a systematic way of looking at ECGs and ECG strips so that you're doing the same way every time. I have a series of questions I ask myself involving the regularity of the rhythm, the relationship of the P, the QRS, and the T waves, and etc. You should find a system that works for you and use it consistently. Secondly, identify a resource and practice looking at ECGs every few days for a couple weeks before your class. The more you look at ECGs, the easier they become to interpret, and some rhythms will immediately be recognizable. Use your SimLab, a medical library, or online ECG simulators to practice these before your class. Doing this is just as much about stress reduction as it is about learning the skill. In the years I've been teaching ACLS, heart blocks seem to be the rhythms that confuse most people that don't normally monitor patients and are a common presentation in patients with symptomatic bradycardia. Today I will help you differentiate between a first and third degree heart block. Differentiating second-degree heart blocks is covered in a different episode. A first-degree heart block is generally thought of as a benign finding that is identified in many patients during routine exams and mentioned but rarely treated. In a first-degree block, there is a delay in the electrical transfer from the atria to the AV node. Looking at a first-degree heart block, you will notice the rhythm is regular. Every P wave is followed by a QRS, and the PR interval, or the distance between the P and the QRS complex, is consistent, but greater than 0.2 seconds. 0.2 seconds on a static strip is 5 of those tiny little boxes. If you see something that looks like normal sinus rhythm, but with a very long PR interval, it's likely a first-degree heart block. Third-degree heart blocks are the result of a complete block of electrical impulses from the atria to the AV node. Because parts of the heart have different intrinsic rates with regard to their automaticity, the SA node will fire at a rate of 60 to 100 times a minute, while the AV node fires at 40 to 60 times a minute. If the new ventricular impulse is coming from below the bundle of His, the rate might be 20 to 40 beats per minute. The way that we identify third-degree heart blocks is to look, again, at the regularity of P waves in QRS complexes and the PR interval. In a third-degree block, the P waves and QRS complexes will map out regular, meaning that if you were to take a caliper or a piece of paper and draw lines between the P waves and then move it across the strip, they will all march out evenly. So will the QRS complexes. However, there will be absolutely no correlation between the P waves and the QRSs. The PR interval will be completely variable, and occasionally you may even see missing P waves that are buried in the QRS. Notice that I didn't say anything about the QRS being wide and bizarre looking. The QRS appearance in third-degree heart blocks depends on where the block is located. If a block is high in the ventricles, such as the bundle of His, the QRS complex may look like a normal width. As the ventricle pacemaker moves further from the AV node down towards the apex of the heart, the rate will be slower and the QRS complex wider, possibly even a jaggedy appearance if the electrical flow is up from one bundle branch and then go down to the other. Patients in a third-degree heart block are usually bradycardic, so treatment with 1 mg of atropine rapid IV push would be the first medication after ensuring oxygenation and obtaining a 12-lead EKG and establishing an IV. Remember that atropine works by blocking the vagus nerve's effects on the SA node and has no direct effects on the ventricles. It's possible that we can see the atrial rate accelerate after atropine with no effects on the patient's ventricles. If after the first dose of atropine we see the P wave rate increase but not the QRSs corresponding to the patient's pulse, we should begin making immediate arrangements for transcutaneous pacing. If there's a delay in starting pacing, a dopamine or epidrip may be started as an interim measure. I hope that you found this review of first and third degree heart blocks helpful. Thanks for listening, and best of luck with your class.